In my view, the key to a successful IT organization is really about the automation, the understanding, the self-service, the standardization, resiliency, and consistency.
Welcome to Technovation. I'm your host, Peter High. My guest today is Matti Finkelstein. Matti is the Chief Information Officer at Intel, a $54 billion revenue company that focuses on cloud computing, data center, Internet of Things, and PC solutions powering the smart and connected digital world. Matti has been in role for roughly 6 months, and prior to that was the Digital Transformation Officer of the company. He is a past Capital Markets Chief Technology Officer of BMO Financial Group and a CTO, Americas and Global Strategy Planning Managing Director at Citi. Matti and his team recently published the Intel IT Annual Report highlighting the progress the team has made and a view into what's to come. I look forward to covering all the above with him through this conversation. And now for a word from our partner, Nile, and the company's co-founder and chief executive officer, Pankaj Patel. Pankaj, talk a bit about the idea of network as a service, as this is a category you're pioneering, essentially.
Service is truly the new product. We really wanted to mold this in a way where AI truly drives the closed-loop automation because we saw this as a major hole in the way the networks were today. This is where we realized that data is the secret ingredient for what we are doing. Every facet of our life is dependent on connectivity and networking today. So we will say, before you design any piece of hardware, software, or firmware, ask yourself a question. Do you really need this? Focus on what is truly needed to deliver a service. After you have decided that you are going to need this, simplify it to the nth degree. Simplification is the key. After that, we said, let's automate everything that we are doing. Doing all of this, we were able to simplify and automate 95% of the usual things people encounter in the IT shop. You cannot do this with the product mindset. This is what we had to do in order to create the true service offering.
Thanks, Pankaj. And now on to our broadcast. Matti, welcome.
Thank you, Peter. It's great to be here.
Well, Matti, why don't we begin with, in your own view or your own words, an overview of Intel's business as it stands today, offered a brief introduction into it. Why don't you take it from there, if you would?
I love the question. It's fascinating. If you ask many of my colleagues today, many of my friends in the industry, what do some of our competitors do? They would say they make this or they make that. When they actually design this or design that, or some actually manufacture things. Intel is in a very unique position that it's also a manufacturer as well as a designer. It has the fabrication side as well as the product side. And the amazing thing that Intel has announced recently, and part of the IDM 2.0 that Intel has announced, is really the Intel Foundry side and the Intel product side. And of course, the Intel corporate side, which is really the three legs of Intel. The Intel product side focuses on designing products, making sure we have the best products out there. Intel Foundry makes actually the products and can make it for anyone, not just Intel. And that's a bit of a change. And then the Intel corporate, which is the corporate structure that supports both sides, whether it be in legal, HR, finance, IT, et cetera.
And great overview, Matti, and it's great to hear your excitement about the areas in which you play as well. Take a moment, if you would, and talk about your role as Chief Information Officer. I mentioned a role you've been in for roughly half a year now. What's within your purview?
So all the internal IT at Intel is really what the global IT organization is responsible for. And it runs the gamut of supply chain IT, data and insights, to making sure all the corporate functions work and all the infrastructure works. The interesting portion there is we have to support both the Intel Foundry that I mentioned, as well as the Intel product side, as well as Intel corporate itself. And you have to make sure you understand each business unit's needs and priorities in order to really enable those businesses and make them the best they can be.
Very interesting indeed. I mentioned in the introduction also that in recent days you released the IT annual report. This is a report that's been in place for a number of years now, and I think a phenomenal practice that the IT function has within the organization. I wonder if you can share maybe a few highlights as to some of the things that were covered in it that you're particularly proud of.
So, you know, I'll share with you the title of it. It's the next evolution of IT. And it is really the evolution of IT. You're starting to see, and, you know, I've been fortunate enough to start my IT career a very long time ago, when IT was embedded in part and parcel of understanding the businesses it was supporting. The IT people sometimes knew the business processes better than the business people. And we're really headed into this phase of, we need to solve this together. Things are complex. Things are such that without working together and understanding the priorities, the business value, and what's involved in making a company successful, we're just not going to achieve it. IT needs to be the trusted advisor, the trusted enabler for all the business units. And how are we going to achieve it? And what's kind of, what are we talking about in the report you just mentioned? We had an IT council. Now we have a CIO, and now we're creating this joint technology council. What is all that about? When I joined Intel, we thought it was really important for the various changes that we were about to make to have senior people focused on a couple of things. And we created this IT council. And this was done, to be perfectly honest, was discussed it before I even joined Intel. And it worked really well. Different, very senior people focused on specific areas. Now we went into the phase, as you mentioned, approximately 6 months ago, that I became the CIO, where global IT is one and has a specific remit and a specific goal. But it's not, you know, while IT is a business just like any other business unit and has to deliver the benefits of it. For Intel as a whole. How are we planning on doing that? So we are creating this joint technology council with all the business units. We're literally pairing up with every business unit to make sure that we're in sync on prioritization, we're in sync on delivery, we're in sync on consumption and understanding costs, and how to become more efficient. Now, that leads really well into a couple of other components that we're working on. How do you become more efficient? Well, the name of the game today is AI. And AI is a very broad term. And AI can be used for many different things. So let me try to separate AI into two separate components. One is the artificial intelligence, machine learning, deep learning, the AI MLDL, which we all are quite familiar with at this point, and we all understand fairly well. And there are a lot of opportunities, whether it's to enable specific business units and solutions, or enabling IT for IT. And that's one of the efforts that we're also doing. You have to be more efficient yourself, not just only, you know, make every other business unit efficient. And then there's the generative AI conversation, which is just as important, if not more important, than the first side of AI, being that what can you learn from a magnitude of information out there, but still maintaining everything in a secure way and making sure it's done in a legal way, whether it be for privacy, copyright, etc. I mean, I can go on and on. We can talk about how, you know, manufacturing is getting transformed. Software development is getting transformed, as well as silicon, pre-silicon validation, post-silicon validation. But then I think I'm going to take all the time that we have. So I'm going to let you ask the next question.
Well, I think it's a great overview. And it's no surprise that an organization like yours would be so deeply involved in artificial intelligence and its evolution and deciphering where value can be derived for the enterprise and for the organization's customers as well. I wanted to ask you on a related topic. of the topic of IT for IT. This I know is an area of priority for you. Talk a bit about what that entails, and I know there are several touch points with, you know, leveraging artificial intelligence among other means of developing value.
It's interesting. We tend to constantly think of AI and IT enablement. And one of the most fascinating things at Intel is we have amazingly brilliant people. But sometimes when you have brilliant people, you know, the thought process is, oh, I can solve this. It's easy. But what happens if you're not there today because you're off today? How does that get solved by itself? In my view, the key to a successful IT organization is really about the automation, the understanding, the self-service, the standardization, resiliency, and consistency. And if you boil all that together, there are a tremendous amount of capabilities within AI that can help you. And it goes the gamut of help desk capabilities, which we can all think about, enabling what you do when you do it and actually seeing what runs on your machine and how to make it better for you, helping you order specific things, helping you get rid of specific things. We have, for example, an agent, and I'm sure many people may have it, that investigates potential issues on your machine and, you know, fixes your software, either silently or tells you about it. We investigate with AI various trouble tickets. Are we closing them properly? Can we do this better? We are taking a look at, it used to be called just verification of configuration, but now you actually, because of the complexity of various configuration, you leverage AI for validation of configuration of incredibly complex environment. All that falls into IT for IT, as well as, I'll use another term, operational excellence. We all tend to take IT for granted, myself included. It just needs to work. You only hear about it when it doesn't work. But at the end of the day, it just needs to work. And it needs to work so I don't feel when it's down. It's okay. I will guarantee you that software will fail, hardware will fail, stuff will fail. But if it has no impact on the end user, that's okay. Then it was built right. We made sure that it's built that way to make sure that the businesses continue to run and things continue to be manufactured and produced.
And this whole notion of end user experience, I know, is particularly important. And you're alluding at least partially to how work that your team impacts end user experience by ensuring that reliability and ensuring that productivity is not lost as a result of issues that may arise. Really interesting examples you provided.
But by the way, Peter, customer experience, it's a lot about perception and how easy it is to use and to do. If you come into the office and something doesn't work, it doesn't matter if it was because someone rebooted your machine or someone rebooted the conference room and forgot to turn the switch on. You came in and it didn't work. So making sure that we have the right telemetry across the board, making sure we have the right view of what is happening and what the experience is. And I am not going to tell you that in Intel, the customer experience is stellar. There's always room for improvement. But I will tell you that the customer experience is better today than it was 2 years ago. And we are going to improve it even more.
A worthy goal, certainly. I wanted to also ask you about the broader innovation mindset that you continue to instill in your team. And obviously, in many ways, what Intel has historically been known for as well. Talk a bit about some of the methods used in order to ensure that that remains an important ingredient of a team like yours.
You know, innovation, we all heard the phrase of necessity is the mother of all innovation, right? We all heard that statement. And it's really true. But in order to innovate that way, you need to understand the businesses. You need to understand what you're trying to achieve. And you need to understand both what you're trying to achieve for others, as well as what you're trying to achieve for IT. And then there is one really important ingredient in all this. You have to really believe and understand that what you did yesterday can be done differently, can be improved, and there might be a better way to do it. You know, I'm going to go back to what I mentioned in IDM 2.0, and we have a huge effort in the Intel Foundry and Intel product and Intel corporate, a huge, huge effort to revamp our ERP system, to change our supply chain system. But it's not just an IT project. Yes, we're upgrading systems, we're changing systems. This is a whole transformation. We are changing the business processes, we're changing how it's getting done. That notion of innovation is key. It's all about what the business outcomes are, what we're trying to achieve. And how would you achieve it today? Not how you achieved it 10 years ago or what existed 10 years ago. We talked earlier about AI. You may find this fascinating. Actually, I hate to say this. It makes me feel a little weird. I actually coded NLP 40 years ago. 40 years ago, we had AI. We had AI before 40 years ago, believe it or not. What we didn't have is all the compute power, the compute capability, and various compute capabilities. Like I'm sure you know, Intel has the CPUs and the NPUs, and Intel also has GPUs and accelerators like Audi. And we didn't have all this massive amount of data. I'm not going to mention names, but in a very, very large institution that I was in over 100 countries and over 100 data centers, they had less than 200 gigabytes in the early 90s. People have more than that on their phone today, just for context. So yes, you couldn't do certain things then. You can do things now. Have that innovation mindset. Have those new capabilities. Think differently. Think how you can, because you can.
That's a great overview and inspiring words, to say the least. I know that you also spend considerable time thinking about sustainability and the impact that an organization like yours can have on that. I wonder if you can peel back that onion a little bit for us, Mati, as to the methods you use there.
So we actually published some research recently, and you can see how critical the roles of CTOs and CIOs is becoming in sustainability, right? If you ask 84% of CEOs are looking towards CTOs and CIOs to really have the biggest sustainability impact. And sustainability is broad. You know, we tend to like to have easy, short answers. Unfortunately, life in the world is not short and, you know, simple answers. I'll put it that way. We're working really hard on sustainability, and we can debate what exactly is the measurement for being sustainable. As you may know, Intel's PUE for its main engineering compute environment is 1.06, which is amazing. And we achieved the LEED certification there, the gold LEED certification. But it's that and then some. We work really hard to make our processors as efficient as possible. Do we need the cooling? Cooling is incredibly expensive. Storage, believe it or not, which again uses processors, but storage also requires a lot of power. In the past, we looked at sustainability as just, oh, I'm going to save money by using less power. That's sustainability. Well, that's not exactly sustainability. So the various aspects of it, of where you source the power, how you're as efficient as possible, what can be turned off either temporarily or in general. Those are all really important things to look at. Even, you know, buildings. Some people have buildings that have specific fauna around them. There are a lot of ways to do this. A good friend and colleague actually was trying out giving their developers carbon credits as cost to development. So there are a lot of efforts in this space that we are looking at. We're working with others. I also chair an advisory board on sustainability with colleagues from other companies to really have a deeper understanding and move forward and potentially look at also specific benchmarks in this area, because today we have good benchmarks, but can we actually measure this better?
Mati, I mentioned your recent experiences have been in financial services prior to this one at companies like Bank of Montreal Financial Group and Citi. You in the past have worked for other technology organizations, so your time at Intel is in some ways a return to an organization where your company's clients are in many cases technologists, just as you are. And I wonder to what extent you get involved with your peers as CIOs and their teams, perhaps in a different form of collaboration than at least in your recent past within your career.
So, you know, I think it's also a personal style. I tend to like to keep in touch with people across various industries. I have people that I worked with that are today in the health services, insurance, tech, financials, you name it, manufacturing. At the end of the day, we are more similar than people may think. When I came to Intel, people asked, well, wait a second. Intel is a product company. No, Intel is a manufacturing company. Okay, let's decide what Intel is. It's both, but it still has HR. It still has legal. It still has finance. It still has people with desktops or PCs. It still has conference rooms. Okay, so the basics are similar. Now let's talk about what else is similar. I'll pick on financial services because it's easy for everyone to relate to. We have a sales and marketing group. They try to sell Intel products, whether it be our software product, which some may know about, some may not, whether it be our hardware products. What do you think a bank has? Yes, they're called bankers, not salespeople, but they sell financial instruments. They need a CRM. Well, they need a CRM. They need analytics around the client customers. They need analytics around the customers. If you really try to boil down things to their pieces, there are a lot more similarities across the industries that you can expect. So you can ask me, hey, financial services, Citi you mentioned, but they don't have chip design. You're right. They don't have chip design. But let's talk about chip design. So what does chip design need? It needs a lot of compute. It needs an incredible grid. It needs actually to design these chips and to simulate the chips and so on. What would be the equivalent in financial services? Financial services calculate risk. They need huge grids. They need to make decisions on the risk of their portfolio. They also have algorithmic trading, which requires huge compute. So yes, it's done for a different purpose, a bit of a similar technology in a way, you know, from a, I'll say, a broader conceptual point of view. So there are a lot of similarities. And the best thing in all this is when you have that view of what the insurance industry does, what financials do, what healthcare does, and you actually have those conversations and you try to listen to your colleagues and peers and friends, you can cull out the most important lessons learned from those industries and figure out how to improve where you are today.
Very well articulated. I like that. What a great overview as to the importance of maintaining a great ecosystem and remaining close to it and the value you derive from so doing. I wanted to also ask you, you and I spoke fairly early in your tenure at Intel, and you confided in me that you had been on a pathway towards slowing down perhaps in your career a bit when this opportunity presented itself. And you went to quite the opposite way now in taking on roles of greater and greater consequence within Intel. What intrigued you most about disrupting your plans, personal and career-wise, to jump back into the fray so significantly?
So one, I can give you and everyone else the following advice. Don't slow down when a pandemic starts. Really not a good time for travel. COVID was not conducive to plans of travel that I had. But besides that, you know, just like I mentioned before, it's very personal and it's about both style and personality. I tend to enjoy talking to people in the industry. Even when I was slowing down, it was more about, you know, VCs and startups. I like what I do. I love technology. I enjoy business as well. So I like both sides of this, the business aspects of the tech company, as well as the technology itself. One side geek, one side business person, which may be unusual, but that's what I am and that's what I like. And you have to really be ready and understand what slowing down means. To be perfectly honest, I wasn't. I'll quote my wife, because she said the following thing to me. She said, "I don't get it. You were slowing down, you were working maybe 10 hours a week, and you were miserable. And now you can work 10 to 20 hours a day, and you have this big smile on your face. Next time, have a better plan." So I promise I'll have a better plan for next time. But I truly enjoy what I'm doing. And I truly think that this is a pivotal moment in Intel's history. How do we make Intel the iconic company that it was? Because we can. And like I said earlier, brilliant, brilliant people at Intel. The talent, I can't even describe it apart from brilliant. It needs a lot of focus, discipline, because drive people have. And they're all excited about what they do, so it's great. So when you're in an environment like that, and when you have amazing leaders, I don't know how well you know Pat, but he's amazing, or how well you know Greg Lavender, both of whom I've known for quite a while, it's really a mission that you want to be part of. It's a moment in history you want to be able to say, I was part of that. I helped create that.
I love that. I wanted to ask you, are there any other trends? We surely have spoken about a number of rising trends, ones that Intel is helping to drive and beyond. Any others we've missed, or any that you'd like to double click on further that have you most excited as you look to the future, Mati?
I'll say the following. Security is paramount and becomes more and more complex. And one of the things, and again, Intel is a very large place, so not everyone outside of Intel may be aware of the trust of the service and the confidential compute capabilities that Intel is bringing to the table, as well as the focus on software. Did you know that Intel was a software business? Well, most people would tell you Intel makes chips. Well, Intel writes a tremendous amount of software. Intel has over 18,000 software developers. We probably upstream more code to open source code than any other company. I don't know for certain, but we do provide a lot. And it's part of that ecosystem that's really exciting. How do we make things very secure for everyone? How do we make sure that things work as well as possible? It doesn't matter which company you end up buying from, but you know, if it's running on an Intel chip, how do we make sure that your software runs really well on it? You know, some of the things that you may have seen on my LinkedIn, you know, with our Granulate, how we saved on Databricks or Cloudera, and a lot of these capabilities. And this is really changing IT, changing Intel to have that focus, foundry, product, software as well as part of the product side. And making sure that everyone can deliver the best products, the best solutions, the most efficient way.
Mati, I wanted to close by asking you for some lessons from your own career. You've had a storied career of great consequence among behemoths in multiple industries, as aforementioned. And I wonder, as you reflect on your career so far, what secrets might you reveal to your success? What have been some of the difference makers that have allowed you to reach the heights you have professionally?
You know, one of the things that I learned is, one, I don't know everything, but I was smart enough to understand that and to go make everything my problem. So it doesn't matter if it's mine or not. You would never hear me say, it's someone else's issue. I would actually go and find out and go and learn and go and ask and go and meet people, have that interest, understand how things are put together, what makes the environment work, and then how to make it better. You can't make it better overnight. Sometimes you can, but you first need to understand what goes on, and you have to feel that it's you, not someone else, but it's you. And I think that curiosity, that desire to learn and understand has helped me greatly over my career.
That's a fantastic lesson to call out, Monty. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for more broadly for a fantastic conversation reflective of so many areas that you and your team are influencing in Intel and by extension more broadly in the tech landscape. It's been terrific speaking with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.